Jamie, how you doing?
Doing well, thank you.
Were you a Seinfeld fan?
I was a Seinfeld fan.
Would you have a favorite George Costanza memory or moment of his time on Seinfeld?
You're putting me on the spot here. I'm going to have to think because I haven't seen the show in a few years.
Oh, well, hey, that's no problem.
I don't have one on the top of my head, to be honest. I apologize for that.
Oh, that's no problem. We had about 100 of them because we were just doing it for trivia, and I was laughing through the entire commercial break. There's so many awesome ones. The massage one we never mentioned when he got the massage from the guy, and then he said it moved. Probably one of the classics ever. I'm guessing pro hockey guys would laugh at that one, not maybe the move part, because you guys get massage from guys all the time.
Exactly. awkward moments.
Yeah, I guess. If it moves, for sure. Jamie, right now, speaking of massaging, it seems like a lot of people think, wow, the San Jose Sharks, what's going on? They stripped Joe Thornton of the captaincy. You know, Todd McClellan, maybe just, they're not in a rebuild mode by any stretch of the imagination. What do you make of that? Because whether or not Joe Thornton has the captaincy or not, I don't think it changes how he'll lead the team.
Well, it wasn't a fun summer. When you're up 3-0 to your arch rival, and then to lose the last 4 the way they did, and then to watch LA go on and win the cup, it wasn't going to be a fun summer here in Sharks territory. So the good news is the summer's behind us. It's like the first exhibition game tonight. Like, let's get some games going. Ultimately, I think they're looking at, you're right about the word rebuild. It's about what's going on in that dressing room. I think the culture, the hierarchy, I think by taking the captain, taking the letters off of everybody, I think they're giving other players an opportunity to step up. But at the same time, even Todd McClellan has come out and said it, so has Doug Wilson. And why didn't they step up in the past? Like, you look at other teams, it's not always about the captain. Look at the LA Kings. I mean, Dustin Brown's the captain. You got Doughty and Kopitar as the assistants. But Justin Williams, Jared Stoll, I mean, Green, all these other guys, Quick, their leadership in the room has built this trust. And for the San Jose Sharks, I don't think it really matters what was said or what was done. It's up to the guys in the room to come together as a group. And ultimately, their goal is to make the playoffs. They could go 41-0. Nobody's going to care. Everybody's going to go prove it to us in the playoffs. So they need to make the playoffs, and then they have an opportunity to redeem themselves from last year.
Jamie, the LA Kings, afterwards said that Daryl Sutter noticed something on film after 3 games and that they changed their style and exploited it. Did you see a big difference in the way the LA Kings played the final 4 games compared to the first 3? Was it something in their attack that was that noticeable?
Well, the only thing I still haven't figured out from that series is how LA was so bad in the first 2 games.
Yep.
They were spread out all over the place. I mean, Jonathan Quick didn't play great, but the Sharks had more odd man rushes in those two games combined than they probably had in the last 2 or 3 seasons combined. Like LA, who, every game was always close in the regular season. You go back to the playoff series the year before, it was every game was a 1-goal game. And then LA looked terrible. They were all like, it was weird. So it was going to be easy for them to improve their play on the first 2 games. I thought they played much better in game 3. I think if anything, they shored up. I didn't see a lot from an attack standpoint, but they shut down the neutral zone. And that's where San Jose started to get spread out a little bit. And I think they just played off the vulnerabilities of the mental side of things once they won game 5. I think that they, if you talk to anyone in LA, they thought then they were in the driver's seat in the sense that they could see it in the Sharks' eyes. So, and that's ultimately what happened. But I didn't see a lot of big changes. Maybe he got some of the matchups he wanted, but San Jose still had their chances in game 6 and 7. But when the chips were down, LA was the better hockey team.
For the Sharks, the changes they made, Danny Heatley, is a guy who's in the West, obviously not playing in San Jose, but how do you think San Jose matches up their changes compared to what Anaheim, the Kings really didn't make any changes like they did in 2013 and went to the conference final. Did the Sharks make enough changes in your mind that they could get past LA and Anaheim?
I think it's going to come down, if they're healthy, and they're playing either one of those teams, you need goaltending, and I think you get a one-year redo in the sense of the ultimate motivation. These guys have been to the equivalent of hockey hell together. They're on the list of one of only four teams in NHL history to have a 3-0 series lead and then to squander it. And they want to redeem. Like, it's almost like legacies are on the line here in San Jose. So I don't think they needed to make a whole lot of changes, because I think you've got a group of guys that want to prove the hockey world wrong because of the epic fail that the hockey world witnessed last year. So from my standpoint, I mean, they brought in John Scott. I think that's going to help. You could say it helped protect some of the young guys. They can police it themselves. But I think other teams are going to chirp the Sharks this year. You know, they're going to hear about it, and I think they're going to have to take it into their own hands a little bit, and they deserve to hear about it. But ultimately, it's going to be, you know, games are won or lost with, you know, on the ice, not after the whistle. So I'm just curious to see how this team comes together. If you know, I think they've had a good camp. They're saying all the right things, but you know what? They were saying all the right things in the spring, and we saw what happened. So we're just, it's going to be if nothing else, everybody kind of says the same thing. It's going to be an interesting year following the San Jose Sharks. Interesting meaning could be really good, might be really bad.
Former NHLer and now analyst for the San Jose Sharks, Jamie Baker joins us. Interesting to listen to you say, Jamie, that, you know, other teams are going to chirp them and they might have to take it into their own hands. And are you suggesting that maybe that San Jose is a team that needs to be a little bit more proactive rather than reactive at times?
I think they've been proactive in the past.
Okay.
They had 111 points last year. They've made the playoffs.
No, I guess I meant in like the intensity factor, not so much just wins and losses.
I don't think they're proactive.
Okay.
I mean, they don't have to go and fight all the time. I mean, they don't get intimidated from a physical standpoint. I don't look at last year's playoff failure. I don't look at it as, I've had people say, well, they didn't have the grit or the heart. I'm like, they've got grit. I mean, they want to win it. I thought it was mentally, for whatever reason, and it goes back to 2011. This same team had a 3-0 series lead against Detroit and then squandered the 3-0 lead and then went on to win that series. So it's only happened 9 times in NHL history in 175 instances where there's been a team has had a 3-0 lead. 9 times the other team has come back. This version of the Sharks is the 8th and 9th team. They won in 2011 against Detroit. They lost this past year in 2014 to LA Kings. And I see that as mental, not having the ability to close out a series for whatever reason. And then in games 6 and 7, not playing your best, not fighting. The great teams, not the good teams, the great teams overachieve and somehow win when it matters most. So I think they're going to be proactive. They'll be the same team that we've seen. I think there'll be more desperation, and ultimately they have to learn to handle pressure situations better than they did in the past, and they're not going to be able to do that until we get to April and it's the playoffs.
What do you see them doing with their center ice position? Pavelski going to play center or the wing?
Right now on the wing with Joe Thornton, but I think over the course of the season, I think it depends on how somebody like Chris Tierney, you know, Nikolai Goldobin, you know, some of these young players, you know, how they play. Rafi Torres is out. You know, he's not going to miss the whole season, but he's going to miss a while. So I think it depends on how the third and fourth lines are producing and playing. That could determine whether Joe Pavelski, who led the Sharks, you know, in scoring last year, 41 goals.
Mm-hmm.
I think they'd love to keep him on the wing with Thornton. And, you know, Pavelski's a right-handed shot, so he can take faceoffs on the right side of the rink. Joe Thornton takes him on the left, so they're both, you know, that really helps from that standpoint. They've got great chemistry together. Joe loves playing with Pavelski, but I think it has to do with how the third lines are playing.
You know, there was a lot of people that thought the Sharks were trying to trade Joe Thornton. Did you believe that at all?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know what – I don't have the actual behind the scenes of what the San Jose Sharks were doing. It looked like it was – I mean, I've talked to people around the league, and supposedly his name was thrown out there, but – the bottom line is, you could say you're going to try and trade Joe Thornton or Patrick Marleau, but they both have no move clauses, and they both stated that they wanted to come back here. These guys signed just prior to the Olympics last year. They don't want to leave right now. If they leave, their legacy is such that they underachieved here. They had great teams and never took them to the promised land. And I don't think they want to abandon the team after what happened last year. So you look at their personal motives. I mean, aside from them loving playing for the San Jose Sharks, playing in the city here and everything, wearing the logo. The bottom line is I don't think they want to abandon their teammates. I think they want an opportunity to you know, help this team make the playoffs and then revenge the loss of last year. That happens in April. So whether his name was thrown out there or not, you can't take it really seriously because Joe Thornton wasn't going to take away his no-move clause. And he and same thing with Patty Marleau. They both stated that in the media early in the summer.
Speaking of San Jose Sharks with former NHLer, now analyst for the Sharks, Jamie Baker. Jamie, what about the blue line and goaltending in San Jose this year?
Goaltending's, you know, first of all, both Niemi and Stalock, they get along great. They push each other. Flip a coin. I think you're going to see both of them in there. Defense is going to be interesting. Brent Burns has moved back, looking for a big year from Vlasic, who went to the Olympics. You know, can he take his game even to another level? And then continued development and maturity from guys like Demers and Braun. Braun just signed a four-year deal. You got Irwin. So somebody's got to step in for the loss of two veterans, Brad Stewart and Dan Boyle. So Mirko Mueller's got an opportunity. Matt Tennyson, maybe. So Doherty, another guy. So you got a few young guys looking to maybe come in as the sixth or seventh D. So we'll see. And I think the Burns moving back to D will also dictate, you know, what the Sharks do. I mean, if they say the forward, moving him to forward was an experiment that ultimately lasted over a year. If he comes back to D and plays really well, that solidifies the D, you know, takes away a spot for a younger guy. But if they think that Burns ultimately might be a better fit back and forward, it adds depth up front, opens up a spot in D. So again, we'll have to wait. This is going to be a wait and see type of thing for this team. I think the first 20 games are going to be interesting. 15 of the first 19 are on the road. We'll have a much better idea, you know, both goalie and defense after game 20 of the year.
You look at the West overall, of course, Anaheim, San Jose, and L.A. in the Pacific are very good. You've got Chicago. You've got St. Louis. I think Dallas is a really good team. Minnesota. Colorado, a lot of people are wondering if, you know, last year all the advanced stats and everything and how they played would look at as a team that maybe, and based on what they've done the last 5 years, make the playoffs flame out, make the playoffs flame out. Is there a team, Jamie, that you see anywhere in the West that will make a big improvement this year?
Well, you list so many good teams, and then, like, I look at Edmonton after last year. Like, at some point, some of these younger guys are going to do what it takes, and they're going to start to win more games. Like, I think there's a team that's got a lot of upside at some point. Is it going to be this year? I don't know. I thought last year was, but, you know, obviously they struggled last year. Calgary's going to be a tough team to play against. Vancouver will be interesting. Because they had such a miserable year last year. And so, and then you look at all the other teams. I mean, knock on wood, any team that gets really a rash of injuries, obviously that's going to affect them, or goaltending. But, man, how do you make a move when there's so many good teams? That's kind of the issue. So the West is stacked. You kind of said that here's the kind of perennial favorites. At the end of the day, I think some teams can make a move, but how much of a move? I mean, you really got to take a jump up in the level of play because every night in the West, you're playing a top-notch team.
One last one, Jamie, for you. Switching from radio to TV, what's the biggest difference in your preparation?
Well, we'll find out. I think most of the games at home, I'm going to be right at ice level. So my game preparation from a note standpoint will be a little bit different. Getting used to being part of you know, the radio, you're kind of just, it's you and one guy, you're working. So this is much more of a collaborative effort from a preparation standpoint, but I love that, love being part of teams, you know, did it my whole life. So I'm excited. I think more than anything, you know, be a little bit of adjustment going from Dan Rusnowski to Randy Hahn, just voice fluctuations, getting the chemistry. Obviously, Randy and Drew had amazing chemistry, the two of them, and you guys are lucky to have Drew Remend up there in Edmonton. You guys will find out his passion and knowledge for the game of hockey is second to none, so. It's going to be, I know Edmonton Oilers fans are going to love having Drew Remende there. And for me, I'm excited. I'm excited for the season. I think the biggest challenge is going to be this interesting team that we're following after that epic fail last year. That's, if anything, that's going to be the most interesting thing. I think the adjustment will be very seamless.
Well, Jamie, I can tell you that Oilers fans would trade for a heartbeat, actual playoff disappointment rather than continual regular season disappointment.
Well, I hope you guys. I love the city of Edmonton. And the Oilers and everything. I hope they have a good year, except when they play the Sharks, of course.
Jamie, good to talk to you. We'll do it again throughout the year. Yep. Appreciate your time.
Yep, thanks a lot. Take care.